Triple M's Big Breakfast for Team Moto and their biggest ever bike sale. Yamaha, Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki and heaps more. Slash by up to $7,000. Check out teammoto.com.au.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Lend a hand.
8 days ago, we had a message from Kath from the ICU unit at Lady Salento Hospital, who said, I've got a couple here who have a small child, Henry, who's 3 years of age. He has to leave hospital soon. They have to leave Ronald McDonald House. They've been down from up west of Rockhampton for about 6 months. Getting Henry went in with no problems, has come out now, ready to come out, paralysed and needing a respirator. She said, is there anything you guys can do to help renovate their little house so they can bring their boy Henry home? And I tell you what, there's been a great response from everyone. And when we approached Jeannie, she didn't know about Kath's approach, but God, she was so grateful, and she's with us right now.
Morning, Jeannie.
Hello.
How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Have you been to the house? It's been like 11 days and a lot of things have happened.
Yeah, so we went to the house on Friday and we were just blown away. We just can't believe all this come together in a week. We didn't know Henry could get home by Christmas, but we can see that now.
Jeannie, do you remember meeting with myself and our producer before it had started, and we didn't make promises, and we said this is what we're going to try to do. Did you, when we walked away that day, did you think this is impossible?
Yes, I thought it was very impossible.
Well, I can tell you, Jeannie, there were like literally hundreds of people either contacted the radio station or went on our website purely because they heard from you and also from the wonderful ICU nurse at the Lady Salento Children's Hospital about Henry, and all of that is unfolding as we speak.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's truly amazing.
You're not the only one that couldn't imagine it happening. I'm new to Brisbane and I didn't realise the generosity of the community here. And so I said to Marto and Robin off air, are we really going to get this done by Christmas? And they both believed that it was going to happen. And it looks like it's going to happen. We're going to get Henry home for Christmas.
Yeah, that is just truly amazing. It's like for us winning the lotto. We can't thank everyone enough.
Jeannie, the life-changing nature of young Henry's illness, we've spoken about it occasionally, how 1 minute you're all running around in the bush out there west of Rocky and having a great time as a young three-year-old, and next thing you know, you're in Brisbane and you can't leave here, you're trapped by Henry's illness. Can you tell everybody what your parents have had to do, the sacrifices your parents have had to make? Because you're a girl from Atherton originally. Could you describe to everyone what they've done?
So my parents have spent their money to buy the property for us, and they're moving in the house behind us because there's two houses, and they're going to help out with Henry. So they're giving up everything to come down here as well.
Your old man sold his farm, which he'd been on forever, to come down here and also assist you. You're getting good support all the way around.
Yeah, without them we couldn't have got, you know, we wouldn't have been able to get a house. We probably would have had to rent, and I don't even know what you do with a rental and having rent for a disabled child.
Jeannie, Henry's only three and, we're about 5 weeks out from Christmas. So where is he at in the hospital process?
Yeah, he had a little bit of a rough day the other day. He had a blocked feed tube, so we had to change that a couple of times, and that was a bit traumatic for him. But he's okay. He's doing really well. He's still getting out of the hospital a bit, going down the South Bank.
Oh, good one.
So, yeah, no, he's travelling really well.
And the most important thing for a three-year-old come Christmas is the list. Is there anything on his list for Santa?
Yeah, he's got a few things. He says trucks, cars and trains. That's what he wants Santa to bring, so okay.
So
trucks, cars and trains.
So basically the reality is the reason why you've had to buy the house where you have is because you have to be within a certain distance from the hospital, is that right?
Yeah, we've got to be within 40 kilometres of the hospital. I think it's just a safety guideline. Like if you go any further than that, probably it's too far for an ambulance to go if there was an emergency or something like that.
And will that be for the rest of his life?
While he's ventilated, yes.
So, Jeannie, you've been to the house twice now. What did you think? What were your first impressions?
Oh, there's too many tears. it was just amazing. I just couldn't believe it. Absolutely blown away. Like, we could have never pulled any of this off. Like, even if we found builders, I don't even think they could have done it.
Yeah. Well, we are more than happy to be involved, Jeannie, and we'll catch up with you soon, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Oh, yeah. So yesterday at this time, we were talking about screen time and kids and whether parents or the children were more addicted. And we had a call from Denise of Augustine Heights who said this.
I am a grandparent carer, so I'm raising my 4-year-old granddaughter.
Are they paying you any money per day?
No, I get nothing.
That has sparked a very interesting conversation in here over the last 24 hours about whether grandparents should be paid for looking after their grandkids.
Oh, that is a slippery slope. You start slinging the grandparents. They want more and more. They want to see the grandchild. They want to see the grandchild. They'll rock up out of love and obligation a lot of the time. You don't want to encourage them with money, Robin.
Whoa. If it's saving yourself a lot of money on childcare and it's with true love from the grandparents, it's a great idea.
Really? Did either of you ever pay a parent?
Neither of our parents, my wife or mine, ever looked after the children in any formal sense.
They had a gutful. They both had fairly
large
families.
They had too many kids before ours came along.
Mine didn't, but my mum lives in a different state. But here's what I think about grandparents looking after kids. If it's just that they want to see their grandchildren and they want to spend time with them and have fun with them, that's one thing, and that's a grandparent relationship. If there is an expectation that for a certain amount of hours every week, they are responsible and that they're doing it because you are asking them to, not because they desperately want to, and that is the big clincher in this, then I think that there should be payment.
Childcare $100 a day, is that about right? So if you get
really
back.
It really confuses the relationship, though. You've got a familial relationship, loving relationship, and all of a sudden you throw money into it, then you can have expectations with money.
Hold on, but you're going out and making money at work and therefore you're saving yourself money by having the grandparents. Why can't you sling them, say, 50 or 60 a day?
I had an argument with my mother-in-law recently and she said...
And this is flavouring your opinion.
Well, it is, because she said, you're treating me like the hired help. Well, if she was the hired help, I'd be treating her like
you
the hired help.
But see, I think it's actually...
That's what I said to her. Don't be ridiculous, Chris. I'm not paying you. I'm not treating you like the hired help.
But formalising it makes it easier. So you have your grandparent time where the family get together and you love your kids, and that's different from if you expect them to pick up a child at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday and a Thursday and have them regardless of what else is in your life. Then if you formalise that relationship and pay for it, there is no question.
You're saying contract. Draw up some sort of a contract. Oh.
Yeah, that's going to happen, well, after about 3 red wines on Christmas Day, I'm going to go, hey, Chris, time for your performance review.
Okay, anyone else other than Lawrence Mooney, all right? Should grandparents be paid
for looking... Is he the only bloke not paying them?
...after your kids?
Are you the only person who doesn't pay their parents?
Let's see.
Is anyone else not paying?
Yeah, Jules of the Gold Coast, what do you reckon about paying grandparents to look after your kids?
Look, I think you should. I used to pay my mother to look after my daughter, and it was about the fact that my mother used to spend money doing things, taking her to and from places, you know, buying her treats, taking her to outings. Plus, I think there's a measure of respect, because looking after children, it's a tough job. It's not easy, and I think it was really important to respect that and appreciate more than just saying thanks. Jules, my mother used to do it 5 days a week.
Jules, it wasn't. Wow. How much is daycare? I don't do it. 100 a day, probably?
Oh, it's a lot, yeah.
What were you giving your mum? Were you giving like 40 or something like that?
Oh, I was giving her about $200 a week.
Yeah, right, 40 bucks a day.
40 a day.
But it was a lot less than what I was paying in daycare, that's
beautiful.
For sure.
That's
there we go. Thanks, Jules.
That's not an alley, right?
Sheena of Kalanga, what do you reckon about paying grandparents?
Look, I disagree with it, but it depends on the relationship. My mum would kill me if I offered her money to look after my son.
What?
Or any of my kids. Yep. She would be offended.
What, has she got enough money?
My niece. Well, she worked 4 days a week, but on her day off, she looks after my niece now while my sister works. She looked after my son and my other nephew while my sister and I were at work. That's her time with her grandbabies. With no one there to supervise her, she can do what she likes, when she likes, with no mummies around.
Ah. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, Sheena, I reckon if you set up that kind of like pay system, it takes a little bit of the family out of it too.
Yes, well, that's just it. That's what I don't understand is where's the support? If I phone my parents and like I'm stuck in traffic, they're like, we'll grab them.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
No, no, that's different, though. But do you feel that when she's got them, can you criticise anything she does with them?
No. Yeah. No, I don't.
Okay. No, and that's the arrangement you have, and it clearly works. Well done.
But there's another one. Her parents and her live close together deliberately so they can help out too. There's a lot of parents
that don't
move away.
David of Bracken Ridge, what do you think about grandparents being paid to look after kids?
Look, I'm okay with some sort of arrangement happening. So I guess what my wife and I did to, help facilitate this is her parents weren't in a position to buy a house, and so we bought them a house.
Oh, but no, the deal David, was, this wow. is over the top.
We bought them a house, but the deal was they would help us out with the before and after school care.
That's brilliant.
So they live rent-free, and it's like win-win. It's an investment property, so we, you know, in years to come, we'll reap the capital gain from the property, but they get to live in a place rent-free for the rest of their lives. So. Okay. They're happy
payment
and they
in
get
kind.
To see their grandparents.
Have you got that negative gear, that place, and running some sort of dodgy receipts through?
Marto, I have no idea what you're talking
about. Come on, you, David. We're proud of each other.
The line's gone crackly there.
Oh, no. Moonman, 80% saying yes, you do have to pay your grandparents. You got some back pay owing, brother?
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Not the back pay. Well, we normally talk politics with our prime minister. We've lost him now, so we've gone to the Minister for Trade, which is Matthias Cormann, our favourite Belgian in Australia. Hello, Matthias.
I'm actually the Minister for Finance.
Oh, whatever.
Mado, nobody really cares, so why should you, I suppose? I love the Oompa-pa music to bring me in there, too. And I've been listening to your show today, and I'm actually a darts player myself, but not a flatulent fan, for sure. That's for sure.
Okay, that was just after six this morning, but let's talk some politics, Matthias. What did you think about the breakdown in talks between the US and China at APEC?
Well, Robin, the talks were in Port Moresby, and they've broken down because I think most of the world leaders there really want to get out of Port Moresby. I mean, it's not exactly the place that you want to have the Asian Pacific Economic, is it Council or Quorum? Or what's the C stand for? I don't know. I'm not very good at the acronyms. Anyway, you know, what does it mean for the rest of the world when U.S. and China have a falling out? It means all the toys get more expensive because of the trade war, and they're all made in China, and all of the clothes and everything gets more expensive because everything is made in China. But also, they are both very aggressive countries that are nuclear weapon equipped, so could mean the end of the world. So, yeah, pretty serious.
Well, that's world news. Just drop back one to ScoMo, Scott Morrison. He was on the news last night. He was in command of a ship getting lowered down into the hull, etc. Is he the real deal, ScoMo?
Yeah, he was really looking at home yesterday, you know, saying he was flipping eggs on the ship, saying they serve us, so we'll serve them. But, you know, he's the typical kind of conservative embracing the military, so everybody thinks he's a big tough guy. But I was put in mind of Captain Scatino on the Costa Concordia when he took command of that ship. Do you remember the Italian cruise liner that flipped over? Because he was going, you're the PM here, you're cleared to landing, more like Captain Pugwash. Do you remember that show?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah. When we were little kids on the ABC, there was an animated show called Captain Pugwash, and they had some rude names for the other the members of the crew.
Can I just check you?
Do you remember Seaman Staines? He was one of them.
Okay. Can you just remind us that accent's very strong? So you haven't just arrived, have you? How long have you been in Australia?
I've come into Australia when I was only a little child, and so you know I'm in my late 40s now, and so you know I've been here over 40 years.
Why do you talk like that? Why do you still talk like that? Why can't you go to a speech therapist?
Why do you still talk like that? Yeah, I got him on the way through.
Oh, you got him, it's us.
Okay, so what have you been up
to? You were 3 years old? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
What about you, Moo Man? You got nothing to say about this?
He never does.
No.
Why doesn't he ask me a question?
No. He's in the other room with Russell Crowe, I believe. Yeah. It's a long story.
Having a cigarette, smoking a dart.
Okay. Have you been up to anything fun, sir?
Well, I have. What I'm doing, you know that I'm a real whiz in the kitchen, Robin, so I've been experimenting with different breakfast foods because I'm getting a little bored with the waffle every morning.
Yeah.
And so I've started experimenting with maybe muffins or the crumpet, the peanut butter, and drizzling a little bit of honey on there as well. Mmm, delicious. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you actually an expert on Belgium stuff, or is it all just...
Oh, yeah, I can tell you anything about Belgium. The Brussels sprout, that's from Brussels. The Brussels nomenclature, that's also from Brussels.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Just in general.
Yeah, you know, very famous Goulain, that's from Belgium.
What about, what's the great fighter, Van Damme?
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah,
the muscles from
Brussels. Kick you in the head. Okay. What is his little catchphrase?
Wasn't
I don't
I'll
even
kick
know.
You in the head.
He's the muscles. In the head.
Anyway, it's insanely boring just you naming things that are from Belgium. So we're going to let
no,
you go.
Not. Matthias Coleman.
See ya.
Finance Minister. We'll catch up
bye.
With you soon.
Bye-bye.
It's nice to be able to call a place home. For the first 24 years of my life, I lived in one home. In Bayswater in Victoria, and in the last 21 years, I've lived in 12 different homes.
Wow.
And I am sick of moving. So in June this year, we were given notice by our landlord. We'd been renting a place for 5 years that we loved, and it was time to make a move, and my wife and I bought a house. My wife, Lou, she's 16 years younger than me, which is throwing up some challenges in our relationship, i.e. she's still a little bit restless. And she does not like the house we moved into because she has to commute too far to take Maggie to school.
How far? What was the comparison before and now?
It's gone from 15 minutes to 40 minutes.
I know, you're
stuffed.
So
it's another 25 a day.
No. Well, 25 each way.
Plus the 25 each way. So another 50 minutes a day out of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from I pick her up on Mondays. Maybe I should start picking her up more. Maybe I should parent my child. Anyway, so I said, can we please just stay here just until I die and then just find somebody else and move on? And she said, no, we're moving.
Did this only get dropped on the weekend at the wedding or something? What happened?
It was dropped sometime. Yeah, no, I hadn't heard it either. I hadn't heard that there was a problem with the commute until maybe Friday or Saturday. Emotional time. The dog had died and then it's like we're getting out of the house.
And she'd been away as well and forgotten about how bad the...
That's right. She'd been away for a month. Yes.
Mm.
So anyway, I said, well, the market's in downturn. We did very well actually selling an investment property. It's like, nah, we're moving. So I just want to reach out. Give us a call because that so far it's 5 months we've been in. 133353. What's the shortest time that you've spent in a house? You move in, you go through that pain.
Oh, so much.
Putting everything away, changing your addresses, credit cards on things, da 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 da.
Time to move.
Then it's time to move again.
I couldn't do it.
It's making me feel ill, the idea of it. What's the shortest time that you lived in your house?
Beck.
Hey.
What happened, Beck?
Our record was we moved after 3 weeks after relocating out of Brisbane into central Queensland.
Okay.
And we had 3 kids. We had to enrol them into school and everything like that. And we had our whole house all packed up, all carrying up by train. We arrived at our home. We were there for 3 nights. And then my husband and his mate got a bit tipsy on the booze and had a look in the manhole because we're getting this weird fungus that was growing on our ceiling.
Yes.
So they went and had a look in the manhole and we found a whole hydroponic setup. It was an old drug lab.
Wow.
Hydro. Still active?
Still growing.
So we had to move house after 3.5 weeks.
Why?
Didn't have to.
Why did you have to move house?
Well, you know, it was a bit of conflict of interest. You know, we try to raise our kids.
The kids. Like
so it became a rental house. Yeah. You just popped over to do some trimming.
Certainly was. Mm. Oh, yeah. And it was interesting. Some of the neighbours knew of it, but no one had bothered to say anything. Mm.
That's not good. That should be on the section 32.
Thanks,
wow.
Beck.
Good story.
Robert, morning.
Hey, young.
Yeah, good. How long did you stay in a house for?
Well, it was the first week of January we moved into a unit. three floors up on the weekend. By the Monday night, we were settled in pretty well, and on the Tuesday, the landlord came and said it had been sold. We were told it was on the market before we moved in, but it was overpriced and wouldn't sell for ages.
Could they do that?
How long did you have to get out?
Had you signed a lease?
We had a 6-month lease, but they agreed to pay all our moving costs and get us into somewhere else, so that was good.
Righto.
Oh, my God.
So, in total, Robert, how many nights there?
Two.
and no drugs in the ceiling either.
And Jeff of Belmont, how long did you stay at a house, the shortest time?
Yeah, g'day. Overnight.
Oh, wow. What
Camping
happened?
Trip.
Yeah, well, we moved into the place, and that night a storm blew up, and the rain was coming. There's no eaves in the house. The rain was coming in and across the top of the roof where the guy had not renovated it properly.
Oh, no.
And there was water, like a waterfall, coming down the west side of the house everywhere inside. So next morning we complained to the landlord, and he said, "Nah, buggy is, that's, you know, you signed a lease. It's all mine." And so we just left.
Oh, did you lose your money?
Yeah, we lost our bond, lost 2 weeks' rent that we put up front and everything. But, you know, all our gear was getting ruined from the rain coming in. It was ridiculous.
You can't live in a waterfall.
How big was the family, Jeff?
Oh, no, mate, there was four of us.
Oh, yeah.
Two years old, you know.
You all fitted into the back of a car, all your gear,
We left our gear there that day, slept in the cars that night, and then we all took the next day off work, Tuesday off work, and just moved everything out.
That makes me feel a lot better. Yeah. I mean, you can only live in a waterfall if you're Brooke Shields in Blue Lagoon. Oh,
that's very true, and wonderful reference. Big breakfast on Triple M.
I know it's like shooting fish in a barrel, but Donald Trump, when he went and visited California after the fires, we hadn't had a chance to get to this. I didn't realise overnight he's also said we should be doing what Finland does.
Which is what?
Fishing.
Raking the forest. Apparently he wants more people to rake the forest to clear the forest floor of any debris. That'll help. The bloke is a complete idiot. We know that.
You don't rake the forest. The leaf litter breaks down and it creates soil. That's right. It makes soil. You would only rake a forest if it was pine needles because they don't break down.
Correct. Let's cut the analysis. It's Donald Trump we're talking about him. Yeah, he said rake the forest. I think we can let that go. Just the same as we can. One of the journos said, well, you know, what are we going to do? Like, it's climate change.
Seeing this devastation, don't change your opinion at all on climate change, Mr. President?
No. I have a strong opinion. I want great climate. We're going to have that, and we're going to have forests that are very safe.
I want great climate.
Oh, my God.
I want a great climate. I want a great climate. We're going to rake the forest. Is he talking about raking the forest so we don't have bushfires?
That's right.
Yes, he
is.
Finland did promptly respond and say, we did not actually say that ever to anyone, including him.
Stop quoting us.
So you just name a place and something they do, and we should do that too. You know, they do in Vanuatu, they shave the whales. You got to shave a whale.
It's a big breakfast on Triple M.
Enormous story from the world of sports coming through in the last day or so. It's from darts, which is an enormous spectator sport, professional darts.
So you
especially
keep telling
in the
me.
UK. Massive in
when
the UK.
When they came to Queensland this year, it was chock-a-block.
I know, it was sold out. I would not have believed that I saw it with my own eyes.
Okay, well, here
because
we go.
The ordinary man, Robin, still dreams that he can do that. You see darts guys having an actual dart, lighting up a durry,
and
having a
beer.
Pint. And eating chips and peanuts.
But how easy is it, Moon? You and I could have a game of darts after 7 beers and we go, geez, we're not bad, are we? And we think to ourselves, if I was sober, I could be a professional dart player.
Yeah. All right. Keeps the dream alive for boys.
All right. This story is about the bloke who's number 4 in the world. So it's top rank pro darts. Two pro dart players have accused each other of farting on stage during a match in England this week, casting a cloud of controversy over the big tournament. The Dutch player, Wesley Harms, now he's about 30 in the world, okay?
Wesley Harms.
Yes. He's gone, it'll take me 2 nights to lose this smell from my nose. He lost. He got blown away. Are they serious?
Don't do that.
You're a grown man, Lawrence.
Are we above that? We're above that, surely.
No, I did not do that.
Come on, Lawrence. You're better than that, mate.
No, I did not do that sound. Brendo, please.
No one believes
you. All right, let's let that go.
I didn't do that sound.
Oh, Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Come on, mate. That one.
What are you doing?
Let me get through the story. Come on.
You are getting me into trouble.
So Gary Anderson won.
Stop pressing those buttons, you reptile.
Okay. Everyone just calm down. So Gary Anderson, number 4 in the world, he won the game, okay? But the Dutchman said he farted. Harms, that's the Dutchman, he chalked up the foul. He said there was a fragrant smell, which he deduced came from the Scotsman's bowels. But Anderson, he's the Scotsman, he's admitted in the past to passing gas during matches. He said, "I'm innocent on this occasion. If he thinks I farted, he's 1,000% wrong. I swear on my children's life that it was not my fault. Oh. I've had a bad stomach before on stage, I've admitted it. Too so I'm not going to lie about it." And, oh, no, I can't read this bit.
Why?
Usually if I fart on stage, I...
that's enough. Myself. Okay, we get it.
I've told you that before. Yeah. This thing, apparently they pass rules because what used to happen, they'd be throwing and people would go, miss it, like they'd make noises.
Oh,
this
really?
This is the last thing they can do to put the opposition off.
Farting.
That's right. And...
I don't know.
I
don't reckon it's the only game where it happens, though. I think there's all sorts of bodily eructations happen to disturb opponents.
Well, all sorts of things.
Federer is massive for it. He silent but deadly. He wafts it down the other end with his tennis racket.
Just swats
it. Ian Thorpe used to fart in the water to give himself extra propulsion.
No, no.
Oh, I mean, it's right. There's history of it. Yvon Goolagong.
What's his chance?
Stop it.
Yvon!
All right.
3353.
Donald Bradman. Bradman was a massive farter.
An extreme tactic you've used to get an edge in any sport you've
played. This is not about farting. This is about any extreme tactic. I know a bloke used to put Denka up, you know, the hot stuff, on his fingers and then pack into scrums and rub it under the eyes. The prop he was packing
against.
That's
not right.
All right. 1-3-3-5-3, an extreme tactic you've used to win playing sport.
Or you've Jesse heard Owen. Of someone else... doing.
What did Jesse Owen do? No farting.
Massive bean guy.
Yeah, huge flatulator. Okay. It is the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Hey, if you haven't caught up with it, traditionally over the last 100 years, the first test of the summer, cricket test, is always on at the Gabba. It's the way we get our summer underway, our summer of cricket. That's not happening anymore. If anyone missed the news that I've been talking about over the years, they've thrown us a little biscuit going, here you go, have a T20 game against India. It's on tomorrow at the Gabba.
Oh.
So India have arrived. We don't get the test. We're going to get a test against Sri Lanka in January, okay? If you're wondering. So
Peter, you got rid of the Mahendra, Mato. You could have gone out and picked up the team.
That's right.
Got him in the back.
My Indian four-wheel drive is no longer. And anyway, let's just talk about they're at the Nets ESA at the Gabba. If you can keep making a little Indian
I'm just doing doing general Indian crowd noises.
Talk to me.
All right, so they're at the Gabba. They get scared because our pitches are really green and they bounce a lot and they're not used to it and their bowlers aren't used to bowling on it and their batsmen aren't either. Yesterday in the Nets, Virat Kohli, who you're probably
he's very good.
He's the best
Love
in
him.
The world probably. Twice he got out in the Nets and also that what's the keeper's name? Sharma. He got out a couple of times as well to one bowler. And
who
you go,
was it?
Yes, the danger man. His name's Raghu. And they say once you've been Raghu'd, everything else gets easier. Raghu.
The Raghuta.
Hails from a small village called Kumta on the Arabian Sea. He left home as a teenager and had never heard of this bloke before, right? National Cricket Academy in Mumbai. But they said, you're not quite good enough. But you know what he did get? He got one of those, you know, those arms you use to put the tennis ball in to throw the ball to the dog, the extendo arms.
A ball launcher.
He's the world's best ball launcher. They call it a sidearm or a wanger, and he does that. That pretends like it's like
a wangerzoid. The Raghuta with the wangerzoid. He's steaming in.
All right, I'm not going on anymore.
I don't.
Hopefully, Raghu doesn't get his wanger out at the T20 at the Gabba.
It's the Big Breakfast. He's not playing.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.